All right, I got in. Woohoo! The Zoom link was missing from my calendar, and I'm like, and nobody sent me an email because I'm anyway. I had to go look it up, so here I am. Yay!
So this woman,
yeah. Who? Oh, there's 14 of you on, and I only see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So I see Sarah. I'll be like romper room. I see Sarah and Paula and Diana and Rachel and Jay. Yay, magic mirror. And I see a bunch of you also on. So, you know, please, Marsha, yay. Please open up your cameras if you can. I mean, if you're taking a shower, don't. But if you're driving, don't. But if you can, open up. There's Angelica. Who else is going to open up? And Lynn Rose. Hi, Lynn Rose. It's after the bewitching hour, so she's wearing her glasses, her blue blocker glasses. And Lynn DJ is what I call her for short. The DJ. All right. So welcome, welcome. Who's there? Maya? Okay. There's a lot of you on 18. Who else do I see? So I see Joseph. He must be there. I can never tell with the Budimer and the Sarah, and sometimes they share equipment. So there we go. And then I see home to guest. I don't know who that is. Maya, Marion. Mixitw, you guys with the unusual putting your names in are going to have to identify yourself. There's Jenny. There's Susanna. And the 817 is on the phone, so we're not going to see whoever 817 is. So the ones I don't get, where's Marion there? Marion. I don't see Marion. Lynn Rose, I see. Jenny, Jay, Diana. Buddha, he's probably at work. Is Joseph at work, Sarah? Yeah, so he's not going to show himself at work. Okay. And Annie, I see Annie. Hi, Annie. I don't see Annie, but I see Annie's name. All right. So welcome, welcome, welcome to our very first call, the smaller group call, which is our Golds, Gold Plus, Diamond, and Elite. So whatever level you are coming back for second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, eighth, 10th, 12th year. No, we don't have quite that many. You are all invited to these calls and we have them once a month. This month is a little crazy for us. So everything got squeezed in and I apologize if I stepped on anybody's toes with your small group calls. We usually set aside week 3 for you to meet with your coaches and your small group calls. And I don't schedule stuff that week. But because September is a short month for me this year, because we have Shine next week and my whole week is blocked off to be at preparing for and be at Shine, we couldn't do some of them there and all. So we have some overlap and I apologize to the coaches in, you know, whoever here, if I did stomp on your meeting time or if not, I apologize again. There's Jeannie. Yay. So we went through and Amy sent out a survey to everybody to kind of get a sense of which days were the best. It looked like 7 p.m., this is 7 p.m. 7 p.m. Central on Tuesdays and Thursdays seem to be the best, Thursdays being better. So ongoing, we're going to shoot for having the Gold Plus this call on the second week of the month on Thursday at 7. And then the other one, the whole group call on Thursday, the last week of the month. And then we're going to throw in at least, I have them scheduled from now till December for those who can't make those times or who daytimes are better. We have three daytimes scheduled for October, November, December. And then we'll decide if we need the extras. Last year we started that. And then by the end, it was the same 7 people came to both calls. So we were like, oh, okay, let's see how it goes. And then there are other calls and other opportunities for you to ask me questions, to ask the coaches questions. Of course, you have your small group coaching call, but then there's once a month, we're going to have one of our coaches do a talk, a little short talk, and then open Q&A. So you'll get access to a wide variety of our amazing, brilliant resources. The schedule has been put together. Hi, Donna. Donna's here. Has been put together and I gave it to Monique and she's going to type it up and then we're going to send out an email. We have scheduled these calls out for the whole year. And when I say year, meaning September through the end of August next year. Now, just caveat, some of that might change, right? There might be my son's graduating from something, or, you know, I have a something that I'm invited to speak on Tony Robbins stage or something like that, that I need to travel, and it will reschedule them. But we'll let you know in advance. We'll make sure we send out an email in advance, and we'll get the schedule changed on the website. And all of these will be listed on the website. The other really cool thing that we have, and we have five of them this year, I think this is the most we've ever had, are our workshop days. And our workshop days are days where we're going to be together for longer periods of time to work on something, right? And to really help you to work on something that's going to help you to move your health forward. So Lynn did our very first one, and she had the vision board one. And if you missed that one, you can watch it. So I would recommend that you find some time. What, it was about 4 hours, Lynn, for that? It's about 4 hours. So find a time on a weekend, an evening, or split it in two times where you can, you know, get ready for it, which I think we sent in the email. But we can actually, what we should do is put that on the page with the recording to say, to prepare for this, to watch this recording, get some magazines and some glue and some scissors and start thinking about this. So you have your prepped up for it. And then she'll take you through the vision boarding, which is really fun. And I think it's so, so important at the beginning of every year, whether you're in your first year or your fifth year, to really get back in touch with what your visions and values and goals are, because they change, right? You know, we're iterative beings, right? So what we wanted 3 years ago may be very different than what we want now. What we thought possible 3 years ago may be very different than what we believe is possible now. So I love revisiting that every year. So those of you who are, you know, in your second or more year, you've done it before, but I've heard that every time you do it, it just gets better and better and better, like, because you just get really clear. So we had that. And then we're going to have a Master Health Tracker workshop. So if you feel like you got it, you know how to deal with your master tracker, you don't have to come. But if you don't, and you feel like you want some nuances of how you can record and track all your great health information, so you have it for years and decades to come, like you always know what's going on with your health and what you did 5 years ago, we're going to teach you how to use that. So those of you who want access to that, it's going to be a workshop. And then we're going to have a workshop on our infamous lab workshop. And those are going to be done in two segments, four, five. I think they're actually 2 6-hour sessions, because it takes a lot for us to go through and help each of you with identifying some of the imbalances. Now, some of you are in gold or gold plus or diamond, and you get more access to me or your coach. And you may choose to just show up for those for a little bit and watch what other people are doing. Or you may want to get further into it, because what I see is every time that we explain something in one of your labs, you get it on a deeper level, right? Because there's a lot there, and you're not trained as medical doctors or nurses or whatever. Some of you are nurses, you get it a little deeper, and you get it in your cells a little bit more, right? They say you really absorb and understand and remember 7 to 10% of what you hear. So if you hear it over and over again, guess what? You're getting closer to that 90 to 100%, which is really cool. So we're going to have two of those. And I think those are October and November. So we're giving you some extra time. We'll make sure that you know that, and we'll tell you what to do to prepare for that. And we want to get your labs in time so that we can generate your beautiful, you know, 27 page or whatever length it ends up being report. And then we're going to go through and just share with you what some of those things mean. Cause you know, your doctors, they don't always tell you, they don't always tell you what those things mean nutritionally, not because they're withholding, but because they haven't learned. And there's a lot of things in there that give us clues. You know, and those of you who are the coaches on the calls know that, you know, now you know what some of those things mean. And those of you who have been with me before, you're like, oh, I didn't know that alkaline phosphatase might mean that I have a zinc deficiency. Doctor never told me that. They just said I'm good because it's not high and it means my liver isn't damaged. Yeah, but there's other things. And you're going to learn that, and you're going to absorb it, and you're going to get to know a lot about yourself, so that you become empowered for self-care. And that's my main goal for you, is to really get the handle on what's out of balance and how we can correct it. And then what do we have after that? Well, we're going to have a new one, which we haven't done before, which is a supplements and nutrients one, where we're going to actually sit with the page that we have on the master tracker. And we're going to have you do your nutrient assessments, which we have on the site, you know, just little questionnaires, get scores. And then I'm going to help each of you to fine tune your supplement program. For some of you, it means like if you're on 27 supplements, helping you to maybe tone it down to 10 to 20 or less. And if you're not doing anything at this point because you've fed up and you gave up and you don't know what to take, we're going to help you to get like the most important ones set up in there. And then in January, those are all going to happen before the end of the year. Hopefully I'm not overwhelming your capacity there. But in January, we're going to do either January or February, one of those 2 months, we're going to do the Kitchen Magic Workshop. And that's where we're going to just get in the kitchen and help you, you know, to get the best foods for you that are going to solve your I need X, you know, junk food or, you know, emotional eating kind of thing. You're going to get that to that point where you can make them. I'm going to share with you my latest favorite way to take protein powder. Does anybody want to hear my latest favorite way to take protein powder? Is anybody interested? I make ice cream. Paula, you're going to like this one. I make ice cream out of it. And what I basically do is I've been putting the protein powder in the blender, and I've been using the collagen support one from Sun Warrior, but whatever your favorite one is, or varying, it works too. And I'm just using the plain one right now. I know they have a vanilla and chocolate. I'm just using the plain, and I put it in the blender, and I put just a little bit of water. Instead of the 8 ounces or 12 ounces of water, I just put a little bit in a big old hunk of ice cubes. And I put something that's going to make it creamy. So it could be avocado, it could be coconut, it could be some hemp seeds, some walnuts, some nut butter, you know, just plop some of that to give it some smoothness and creaminess. And then I flavor it. So I put in maybe some vanilla, maybe some chocolate stevia, hazelnut stevia, almond extract, chocolate powder, and sweeten to taste. Sweeten to the point where it goes, oh yeah, that's a really good sweetness for me. But you're not going to know that till you're finished. But you do need a Vitamix or a BlendTec, like a high-speed blender to do this. You might be able to do it in a food processor. I haven't tried it yet. And I just use the thing and I plunge it down and plunge it down, and it turns into this beautiful, creamy ice cream. And then you just add whatever sweeteners, flavors you want to do it off. It's literally a 5-minute dessert. And you're sitting there. Oh, and if you have it, and if you don't, I'd recommend you get some and freeze it. Zucchini frozen into little slices. You can throw, I've done it with and without, and with the zucchini, it's a little creamier. So you take a handful of zucchini slices, you throw it in there, and you pound it around. And guess what? Now you have this ice cream, and you're sitting there eating ice cream. You're going, I'm eating a bowl of mushed up zucchini with protein powder, and it tastes like ice cream. It's like, this is a miracle. And then today I said, what else can I put in there? So I was learning about lion's mane mushroom over the weekend. I had a whole hour and a half topic on lion's mane and how good it is for, you know, memory. And I'm like, I'm coming up on doing a 3-day live event. I need my brain on fire. So I put some lion's mane in there. I put some cordyceps in there. I also said, you know, I can't afford to get a cold or anything. So let me put in some things that are going to keep me from being congested. So I put in Boswellia, and I put in some quercetin, and I mushed all this stuff together. So now I'm eating this bowl of herbal goodness with zucchini. So vegetables, herbs, and flavorings, and it's like ice cream consistency. So it's fun. And it's delicious. I don't know about Donna's going to like it, but everybody else might. She's going, no, but it does. I'm going to have you over here sometime and make it for you. And we're come up with a recipe for you, because I know ice cream is one of your favorites. And I think if we can find a really good ice cream substitute, it's going to help you a lot. So that's, you know, that's kind of the kitchen magic things that I want to do. You know, some of the comfort foods that we're used to, how do we take them and add to them some of the herbs and nutrients that we personally need to improve our health and not feel like we're deprived? Make sense? Yes? Yeah. Okay. So the way these calls work are you get to ask me whatever questions you have, and maybe early in the process and you don't have any and you're just going to listen, or you do have questions. And I know several, Paula, Jeannie, and one other, I have to look again, had submitted in the sheet. So we send out an RSVP sheet. Donna, okay. We send out an RSVP sheet. And you basically, if you can fill it out before, sometimes I love reading Diana's because she'll just say, yes, I'm coming and the garden is blooming and I just picked some, you know, dandelions today and I'm going to tincture them. And that's fun. There you go. She did, right? What is it? I can't tell. Is it zucchini? Oh my gosh. So freeze them for ice cream making, right? Freeze them for ice cream making. Big Ziploc bags or big glass containers, whatever you feel like doing. So I'm going to open that up. So the way these calls work, for those of you who are new, I'm going to open up my RSVP sheet. And I usually go through that first and answer any questions that have come up there. And then after that, we will we'll open up the floor for questions. When we do two of these a month, what I'm going to request, depending on how many, you know, show up and how long it takes, is that you ask your question, you get your coaching on one of them, and then if there's time on the other one, to make sure everybody has a chance, but you're welcome to come to both of them, right? You don't have to just come to one of them, all right? And then if there's time for everybody to get their answers. But if you don't make it on this call, this week there's another call on Thursday, but it'll be second and the fourth week. And then the third week, you'll have your small group coaching so you can get your questions answered there. And then there's two other things, the vital call and the open office hours that you can just drop in and ask questions. And then you've also got the coaches calls. So you're not more than like 4 days away from being able to reach out to one of us and ask a question. And if at worst case, you put it on the Facebook group and we're all in there all the time and we'll answer your questions there. We're obviously not going to read your lab on a Facebook page because that doesn't work very well, but that's basically it. So before I jump in there, does anybody have any questions logistically or anything that's come up in the course of the last 15 minutes that I've been babbling? Anybody? Diana?
I did submit a question with mine.
Okay.
It's not a personal one, but it's flu season up here. And I was just wondering if you have a protocol for staying healthy and avoiding the flu, or if you start to feel it coming on, if you have a protocol to.
Who else is interested in that question? Anybody else interested in that answer? Yeah, absolutely. I'll start there and then we'll go on there. And I know that some of you know each other because we did a, you know, and some of you don't, and you'll get to know each other. I didn't want to take a lot of time this time. Let me get through the questions and then we'll take time for people to introduce themselves a little bit. But cold and flu season, right? For us, it's 3 months away before that's really the case here. But in other parts where the weather, you know, it's that when that weather shifts and suddenly the body is stressed with the weather shifting, especially when it's erratic. Like one day it's warm and the next day it's cold. It's not easy for the immune system to adapt. So in terms of preparation, there are things that are immune modulators. There are herbs that you can take and supplements, nutrients you can take to prep yourself. Okay. And you may have to play with some of these to see which ones feel best for you, but reishi is an awesome one. Reishi mushroom, right? And so having, you know, a cup of reishi tea, I love making it with some coconut milk in there and just having it like a cup of hot chocolate. That's a really good one. Astragalus is a really good herb for that. So you could either do it in tincture form. Do you grow it? Do you grow astragalus there? Yeah. So you probably tincture it and have that. So astragalus as a tincture, or you can get them. They look like, tongue depressors. The full piece of the roots it's sliced, obviously. That's not how they grow. Diana will show us someday how they really grow. But the way I've always bought them, they look like tongue depressors because it's just the root and then it's sliced thin. And you can throw them in soups. So if you're making some sort of soup and you can simmer it in there and then pull the pieces out and then just drink it, you can make it into a tea, or you can get a tincture of it, or you can get powder. I actually have powdered extract of astragalus. So those are some of the things that you can just incorporate as food, as medicine over the course of time before that happens. Here in Austin, we don't go into flu season as much as cedar season. And a lot of folks have that cedar allergy. And that has worked for people that I've worked with the cedar problem or specific allergy seasons. But this will work for flu too, is also vitamin C. And I remember having one client patient, ages ago, like maybe 20 years ago. And it was when I first moved to Austin. And I didn't know it. I didn't know cedar season from a hole in the wall. And I'm like, oh, what is this? And she was every cedar season, she had to take steroids throughout the season to keep herself breathing. And so we started working a few months before. We got her on a supplement called Aller-C, which is a combination of quercetin and vitamin C and bromelain, I think. And we got her on that for a couple months and then Reishi. And then I think those were the main ones. Probiotics, you know, just the standard stuff like making sure she had good gut flora. And she sailed through the season without any drugs, not a antihistamine, not a steroid, just on the Aller-C and some extra vitamin C and the Reishi. So it works. Now, if you feel like something's coming on, you want to hit it heavier, right? You want to hit it heavier. You don't want to do the immune modulators. You want to do the immune boosters at that point. You want to do something that's an antimicrobial. So there's a lot of different things if it's flu. There's one thing that somebody turned me on to, and I thought it was an interesting name. It's called Kick-Ass Biotic. And it's basically a strong herbal antibiotic type thing that has some golden seal and other berberine type things in there. You can get something like that, or you can get, I keep this around, Oregon grapefruit as a tincture. And I do that because it's similar to golden seal, but golden seal tends to be endangered, right? And so I just use the berberine containing Oregon grape. Now, if you're like a real tinkerer, like you want to make your own teas, you can get Oregon grapefruit and you simmer it for hours and you can pour it off, or you could do like Diana does and make her own tinctures. But I don't do all that. I just buy it from Herb Farm. Herb Farm's a good brand. Gaia Herb is a good brand. Herbalist and Alchemist is a good brand. Wise Woman Herbals is a good brand. So those are all good. Like I would trust those brands of tincture. So you can do some of that. But if I feel something coming on, I am loading on the vitamin C. I am literally just loading it until it goes out the other end, literally. And then I go, okay, I think I've had enough today. Right. And usually, I've not had anything go past that first day in a very long time because I feel like, oh no. And I have the throat spray from Gaia that I keep around all the time. I'm going to keep a couple of bottles with me the whole time during Shine because it's also good for lubricating vocal cords when you're using them too much. And so I just keep that around. I start spraying that. I do the vitamin C. I do the Oregon grape or echinacea or both. And sometimes I just do the muscle testing. For those of you who, you know, I'm very scientific. I'm very biochemical. But I also do a little woo-woo stuff, which is, let's just see if my body likes this. So it's called the sway test, and I'll hold it up and I'll say, well, does my body need this right now? And my body goes back and I know that that's a no, right? But when I made my little ice cream this afternoon, I held up the lion's mane. I held up the things. I held up some things that said no, put them back. I even did it with the various protein powders I had. I have a variety of them, and I just check to see which one my body needs. But we can talk about that more as we go along. But I always want to balance that kind of thing with what we know scientifically about what the body is needing, right? If I'm looking at, you've got some histamine reaction going on, you know, your eyes are running and your nose is running, add some quercetin to that mixture. Quercetin is super important. Now, you can get quercetin in some of your foods. It's in most vegetables, but especially in things like onions and garlic, right? It's this yellowish tinge to it, and it's amazing as an antihistamine. Whether you have an antihistamine reaction or a histamine reaction because you're allergic to something or because you're having some sort of cold or flu coming on and there's, you know, your body's reacting to it, it works beautifully. And I skin stuff, We had a friend of mine come over to help us with the last Healing Kitchen show, and she had broken out in this like rash. And like, where did this come from? She goes, I don't know, but it came on after this. So I just gave her a big tall glass of powdered vitamin C and powdered quercetin, and we stirred it on up, and it started to come down. I gave her some to take home, and it helped clear up her rash, right? So a hive type reaction it works as well for. So those are some of the, oh, and garlic. Don't forget the lovely garlic. If you tolerate it, some people have sulfur metabolism issues and garlic makes them feel wonky, but garlic is super, super duper. One of my friends, he does a wacky thing, but I'll tell you about it because maybe you want to do a wacky thing too. Garlic has been found that if you do 6 or 7 cloves raw, you're like, how the heck am I going to do 6 or 7 raw cloves of garlic? Well, you can mix it in avocado and you can mix it in almond butter. But what he does, and you need it needs to be crushed, right? You can also make a soup and then add it at the very end, you know, so it warms it up. But what he does is he crushes them and he swallows them like pills, just like he's taking vitamin C tablets. And he does this with like 6 of them and says, like, within a couple of hours, gone. So it's not for everybody. It's not for the faint of heart, right? Donna's going, no. But if you're willing to try it, it can be good, right? And what I used to do for my kiddos, those of you who still have kiddos around, is if they came home from school, they would go, oh, Mom, I think I'm getting a cold. And they got to the point where they go, I need that soup. So the soup was, I would take a big pot and I would put in some broccoli, some celery, potato. That's not good for people with insulin resistance, but I put a potato and carrot. So celery, broccoli, potato, and carrot. And I simmer it up and then I take it and I blend it. Oh, and garlic, of course, put the garlic at the end. And I simmer it up and then I blend it for them and I'd give it to them and they would love it. And they would like, I'm going to go sleep, and they'd sleep and they never got the cold. It never turned into anything. So that was the favorite. And it even worked recently. A couple of years ago, my son, when he was home for the summer, and he was biking every day, and every day he'd go, oh, Mom, I don't know why I have headaches and I'm dizzy. And I'm like, well, you're biking at 4 in the afternoon in the summertime. Are you hydrated enough? And all these headaches. He goes, maybe I need some of that soup. I'm like, okay. He was 23 at the time, right? So he still remembered. I made him some of that soup. His migraines went away and didn't come back. Like, okay, placebo, perhaps, right? Placebo, but whatever. So those are some of the things for SLUs. Is that helpful? Yes? Okay. And there is a Vital Healing Kitchen that is from January of last year where I did a cold and flu, herbs for colds and flus. What's that? Elderberry? Oh, how could I forget elderberry? Elderberry. Elderberry is amazing. Yeah. And a lot of times they're made with syrup, but you can make it as a tincture. No, you can make it as a tincture. Yeah. And I actually found online, and I bought it because I wanted to test it with my blood sugar, and I haven't done it yet, but it's an elderberry concentrate that one of my herbalist friends highly recommended. So I bought it, and it's in my refrigerator. I haven't tried it yet. So I'm going to test it with my blood sugar to see if it raises my blood sugar.
Be careful never to eat elderberries raw, because they will be poisonous if you ever see them in the wild, okay?
Okay, that's good to know. That's really good to know. And there are others like that maybe they're not poisonous per se, but some of them might just give you really bad gut reactions if you don't, you know, neutralize some of the alkaloids and whatnot in them.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Yeah. Definitely. The American elderberries are definitely not something you want to eat raw.
Great. Now, I bought them dried.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Can I do that, or do I have to keep them to do?
Most of the dried ones are the European elderberries. The European black elderberries, you can eat them raw. You just don't want to eat a lot of them raw.
Okay.
But the American elderberry is a slightly different variety, and it is definitely very toxic. You don't want those raw.
Yeah, good to know. Really good to know.
And unless you can identify them in the wild, which you really can't, unless you're an expert. Don't eat them at all. Just make it a policy.
You don't want to eat things in the wild unless you really know your botany and know how to identify species. A friend of mine posted these gorgeous, she was hiking and she beautiful mushroom pictures. They were gorgeous. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I said, are any of them edible? She goes, I don't know, and I'm not going to try. But they were absolutely beautiful, and that doesn't mean just because they're beautiful that they're not poisonous.
Some of the most poisonous plants in the world are very pretty.
Are very beautiful, right? Right. What is that one that?
Irons. Yeah.
Yeah. Some of them are. Yeah. So you do have to know your stuff before you eat things in the wild.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's important. Okay. So I'm going to open up the sheet, the response form. And all right.
Dr. Reader, I put the questions just in order we received them. In case
thank you. I see that. That's beautiful. Yeah. Awesome. And I don't have to look at the whole thing. I can just look here. Okay, so 7 questions. Okay, and Donna was the first one. Will we be getting any bonuses, Laura Fine and Brain Time, and how can I do them? Yes, so we're working on bonuses. I just talked to Amy the other day, and she said she kept getting trying to do them and kept getting distracted with all the other stuff going on with Shine and everything, but we should have them all laid out. Brain Time we're going to be getting in October. We're actually, he's scheduled to talk to us, the guy that developed Brain Time, and he's giving us a free month. And actually he sent the link, so we probably can send it, but I wanted to actually give you the month once you knew what it was. After his conversation, because if you just got the month and then it expired and you hadn't used it, let me see, it was October 16th, maybe 9th. Post Shine webinar, lucrative luminaries. Do you remember it all, Angelica? I thought it was, it's definitely not the second. I thought it was a Wednesday.
The date for which event?
For the, it's called Sleep with.
Oh, with Jim Otis.
With Jim Otis. It's on the 30th. Yes. Yes. So mark your calendar for this 30th, Wednesday the 30th at 5 p.m. Central. And that's when we're going to have that talk with him. So my goal was to give the brain time after we heard him talk. Whether you can make it live or not, you can listen to it and then you can get your brain time started. Yeah. And the brain time is, I'll make sure I ask him questions that he addresses too, because it's also head trauma and memory and focus, right? And the other thing, I'm going to spend a little bit of time studying it so I know the doses and all that, but we had a whole hour and a half lecture on lion's mane and the neuroprotective effects and neuroinflammation effects and how it works really well for folks who have had brain trauma. And we have a lot of folks in this program that have had brain trauma, and I want to see that turned around. So I'll be sharing that stuff as well.
Yeah, I've been using it since April.
The lion's mane?
Oh, no, the brain time.
Oh, the brain time, sorry. And what's your thoughts? You want to share?
You know, I'm doing so many things. It's part of my whole routine, but I like it. Auntie and I both do it in the morning and night. You only need to do it. I think I do it 15 minutes at night because the sleep is 10 minutes, and then I do the relax. I like it a lot.
Great, great. I know that a couple of others have used it in some of our coaches. I can't remember who exactly, but they were like, I haven't had a good night's sleep in years. It was Heike. She said, I hadn't slept in years. We brought him in to speak to our practitioners, and she was like, what the heck? I'm going to try it. And she tried it, and she said she finally slept, and she's consistently sleeping better, right? So everybody doesn't have that quicker response, but his experience has been it just settles down the brain, and it's literally 5 minutes in the morning, 5 to 10 at night. He says twice a day, minimum 5 minutes a day, twice a day. Who can spare 10 minutes a day, right, to try to get your brain back and focused and all this? So lots of stuff, and I don't want to overwhelm you with too much. That's why we're going to be mapping it out, you know, little by little. I'm going to do a talk probably after that, or might be after that, on sleep, because there's this amazing book that I have listened to, because I don't have time to read, but I listen to a lot of books, and it's called Why We Sleep. And I will tell you, those of you who've known me for years know that sleeping has been one of my issues. Not that I didn't acknowledge that it's important, not that I couldn't fall asleep, but that I would never make it to the bed because I'm too busy. I got this to do and that to do. After reading that book, it really helped me to see that even if I wasn't noticing the effects of lack of sleep, like I was tired the next day. It was affecting my cognition, my speed of response, and my overall health. So I'm going to share some of that that really hit me so that I can help those of you who, not the those of you who are necessarily having trouble falling asleep, but those of you who are having trouble making it to the bedroom. Okay. Just saying, that's one of the reasons we have trouble sleeping is we just don't get in bed in time. And that and my little Aura ring, which I don't know if these are valid. Somebody said, is it really valid? It tells me how many hours I'm sleeping and I'm competitive. So I'm like, oh my God, I only slept 6.2 hours last night. That's not good. I got to get up to 8 again, you know? So it really does help me to commit, you know, and whatever tricks we need to trick the monkey mind into doing what we know we need to do is better. Like Jeannie, you said you got your muse. Have you started using that? Yeah. That's what got me to meditate. I'm at 750 something days in a row of, let me see, of meditating. Am I going to skip a day of meditating and lose my streak? Are you kidding? I'm too competitive for that. 755 days straight. I'm not going to lose that, right? So whatever it takes to get us to do the things that we know we need to do is good stuff. Right? And none of this guilting ourselves. We should be able to do it anyway. I should just know and just do. That's a bunch of BS. Okay? Don't trick yourself that way. Don't berate yourself that way. Right? We all have our stuff and we learn how to do it. The other thing I'm going to be doing is a thing on the vagus nerve. And so those I haven't scheduled yet, but I really want you guys to see the value of the vagus nerve. The healing power of the vagus nerve, you might have heard me talk about that a bunch, but it's so, so important. And so many of us are just running around with this high drive sympathetic dominant because of old traumas, right? Because of positional things, like structural things that can affect it, diaphragm issues. And when we can get that major stress, like I know Rachel, we talked to see it yesterday, major stress. That's just knocked your vagus nerve out of cahoots, and we want to stimulate that again. So I'm going to talk about the reasons and some of the things you can do. And then if you need it, there are people who do hands-on work with the vagus nerve. So, but we're first going to start with how do we get aware of it? How do we use what we know, whether it's meditation or heart math or tapping or Byron Katie's The Work? Like there's all sorts of things, and you find the one that resonates with you. And then we're going to help you to calm that system down. So between the sleep and the stress. So these are all talks that we're going to do related to our basic pillar stuff. Does that sound good? Anybody think that sounds good? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
And then they'll be recorded and then they'll be in the content and you can access it anytime you want. You know, if you can't make it live, no big deal. But if you can make it live, great, because then we can interact and you can ask questions. I am also going to have Trisha Nelson come in. I think she may have been in last year or the year before. I can't remember. But she's going to do the emotional eating, like really talk to us about the emotional eating. Because who here thinks that they don't ever emotionally eat? Okay. Who here admits to having some emotional eating issues?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you're not alone, right? And I'm keeping my hand up there too, right? But it doesn't mean that we want to just ignore it because everybody else does it. It means that we want to address it so that we can satisfy that emotional hole in other ways that isn't mm-hmm. putting us into this crazy loop. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So.
In the Laura Fine?
Laura Fine is going to do a talk too. So let me make sure you guys all know. Monday, Kimberly is going to be talking about the childhood traumas. So if you haven't already filled out your ACEs questionnaire, fill it out. It's just printed, fill it out. You'll have it in front of you. And she's going to talk about what that means and how we can, you know, affect some changes there. And then some of you, we'll bring in Laura Fine in for a talk like that, a public talk. But then she also, some of you who are in Gold Plus or higher are going to get some sessions with her. And those who have gotten those sessions with her have been like, oh my God, right? Who's had sessions with Laura, right? Pretty amazing, right? I talked to Hannah Ori yesterday too, and she's like, you know, in love with Laura because of how profoundly that can help with reprogramming the nervous system and the old energetic patterns. So we've got a lot planned for you, but we're also trying not to overwhelm you. So I'm going to space stuff out, and then you'll get guidance from your coaches and from me as to what things you might need to be focusing on next. So don't feel, oh my God, there's, 2,700 videos on the site and I've only watched two so far. Ah, no, we don't want to add to your overwhelm. We want to create structure so that the overwhelm comes down. Because the fact of the matter is that most people that come and join this program are hypervigilance. You know what I mean by hypervigilant? Hmm. Right? You want to do it all right, right? You might call it OCD. You might call it stressed out and overwhelmed. But it's like, I want to get it right. I want to get it right. And that drive to getting it right drives you to emotionally eat or to self-sabotage. And we want to avoid that. So we're working with you to help you, guide you through the process. Does that help? Does that make sense? Is anybody mm-hmm. feeling overwhelmed? No? Donna? It's not me that's overwhelming you, though. It's the rest of life that's overwhelming you, right? Okay. I've known Donna for 4 years now? When did you come to SID? It was 4 years ago. So I can tease her. So those of you who are new are going, whoa, why does she keep picking on Donna? No, I'm not picking on Donna. We just have this thing, this relationship where, she gets it. I get her. She gets me. And that's where we're at. All right. So
what were the other questions I had? I don't remember.
Let's see. You had, will we be getting bonuses? Organic acid test, no lab that I could find in folder. Oh, so you haven't had that test done and you're mm-hmm. going to get one.
I'm wondering what one I could do. Because I know nothing about those kind.
Okay. So the organic acids are reported in the organic acid test, which is a urine test. And I'm sure you're on the list of folks who is getting that. I just ordered a dozen of them to cover everybody that got them. But it's also in the Dutch test, which we've been talking about for a while, but you haven't done yet. Right. And in the Dutch test has a subset. So I would do for you, I would do Dutch test first.
Okay.
We'll see which of the major organic acids are out of balance, plus the hormones. We'll get you doing some things to get that in balance. And then when we retest later, we can do, if I think it's necessary based on that, we'll do the whole thing, the whole organic acid test. And that's a urine test. So it's easy. The Dutch test is easy. You do not have to get poked.
You know.
It's just pee. We all have to pee. Yeah. Yeah, so those are your two questions.
Okay.
All right. Paula, have I heard from Dr. Fiona? Yes. And I know what she said, but I'm going to open up her message to me so I don't forget any of it. Fiona. Oh, that was a while ago. Let me just type in Fiona. It's 2 weeks ago and I've had already a million messages. Here we go. So she said, she said your total testosterone in serum in 2019 was 20 and now it's 20 and before it was 37. So it's coming down. She wanted to know if the lab adjusts for the reference range, and I don't know if the lab adjusts for reference range for age. So she said after she did the conversion, she said it is kind of high for you and that your SHBG, your sex hormone binding globulin, is a lot better than it was. And she really, and I kind of agree with her, we've talked about this before, just to play it safe is to have an ultrasound to just make sure there isn't, any of the adrenals. To make sure that the adrenal, because your ovaries aren't producing, they don't after menopause produce much, but the adrenals might if there's an adrenal adenoma, which would be a hormone producing. It could produce DHEA, it could produce testosterone. She doesn't think that that's what's going on just because your serum numbers would be getting bigger and they're actually getting smaller, and they would be much higher than that. But just to play it safe, if you feel comfortable and you want to do that, you just have an ultrasound done of your adrenals to make sure there's nothing that's producing that testosterone. But the numbers aren't that high. But she said also, if you've had PCOS in the past, the high levels of LH, luteinizing hormones, can continue to stimulate more testosterone actually from the ovary, which could go fluctuate up and down. And then she said basically what I just said to you, that the tumors would actually stimulate much higher levels, at least 80 plus or so. But, you know, not a bad idea to check if you, yeah. So actually, she said you may want to do the ovaries and the adrenals. An ultrasound, yes.
I only have one anymore.
You only have the one. So just checking to make sure that it isn't thickening. Like, so if the LH is going up, and you know, some of that is, there's a genetic tendency for PCOS, and having had early, it could have come in utero or been genetic, so epigenetic or genetic. And then that would continue to persist even after menopause. So ruling those things out, but she said for the most part, it's probably not a problem. It's not dangerous. It's not going to cause any problem. But at least if you know why it's happening, then, you know, no big deal.
I don't understand what the benefit of doing an ultrasound on the ovary would be.
Oh, she said if you are producing LH, which you could actually test to see if you're overproducing LH and not do an ultrasound. So that would be a blood test, luteinizing hormone. It's usually cyclical during your period, and then it goes high during menopause. But if it's extra high, then it could be causing the thickening of the lining and then producing some testosterone. But she said basically the fact that they're different from blood to urine, right? They're higher in the urine than they are in the blood. She said they aren't on the same day, and they really aren't directly comparable. Let's see. The reference range includes all ages. So it's more unusual for a 65-year-old to have the testosterone higher, even though it's in the normal range for the overall population. Does that make sense?
Are we talking the blood or the urine now?
The blood.
Okay.
And it may be, like we talked about before, that it's higher in the blood, but your urine is clearing it. Right, you're doing a good job of clearing it, and that's why it's higher in the urine.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Nice. So that's basically, does that making sense? Like ultrasound, check out for adrenal adenoma that would be producing it, and check the ovary to see if it's getting thick. If not, then it's probably fine.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then continuing to maintain the insulin resistance type diet.
Right.
And your insulin resistance has gotten way, way better.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Does that help?
Yeah. Okay.
And then you get to decide, you know, if you think it's worthwhile. It's likely not an issue at all. Right. But if you want to feel more comfortable that that's what's going on. I mean, adrenal adenomas, like she said, you're usually going to see the blood levels, you know, 80 or more. Right. And yours was 37 in 2017 and down to 20 now.
Right.
Still a little high for, you know, for your age range, but not out of the range for normal. And she said you'd normally see it way out of the range if it was a tumor.
Right.
Right. And those are benign, by the way. They're not, it's not like it would be a malignant tumor. It's a benign adenoma. And you just really, you watch it, right? If it gets bigger and starts to produce more stuff and it starts to cause a problem, then you'd want to do something. And those kind of things can produce high levels of cortisol, which you do have a little bit high cortisol comparatively as well, right? So, you know, when it's an adrenal type tumor, it's going to produce more of everything. Do you tend to have trouble with peeing too much?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's possible because aldosterone, right? So, I mean, it's certainly worth getting it done. You know, I would say I would be more inclined to do the, if you're going to choose one, the adrenal. But if you're, as long as you're in for an ultrasound, you've got the machine out, they just move it down, right? It's not that big a deal. You just get it done and, you know, get the, now the question is finding somebody who's willing to do it.
Right. Yeah. I think I might have a hard time convincing my gynecologist. I'm pretty sure I would, because she saw absolutely nothing wrong with.
Yeah. The so, values. Yeah. So it's a matter of convincing. And so what I might do is do some Google searching and just find some things that talk about an adrenal adenoma, you know, higher than expected testosterone in a postmenopausal woman, higher than expected cortisol, you know, in a postmenopausal woman. Mm-hmm. And do we just want to rule it out? And the question becomes, is it dangerous, right? And at this point, given your numbers, it probably is not dangerous. And that might be her take on it as well. And why, you know, bother and, you know, deal with insurance companies saying, why are you doing this?
Right. Yeah.
Right. Okay. I don't know of any direct access imaging places where you can just go and get an imaging like you can a blood test. That would be nice, but not. If you have a chiropractor, can usually order imaging stuff. You know, chiropractor, osteopath, somebody a little bit more alternative. I don't know about naturopaths in Chicago. Do they have, are there any naturopaths up in that area in Illinois?
We actually have a naturopath here in Rockford, but.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the more alternative the person is, the more they're going to be willing to do a function. It's really a functional test, right? It's just, let's see what's going on and why this is happening.
Yeah. Actually, my primary care doctor might be more open. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I mean, I would go in there. This is how what I would always do years ago. And I was going in for all kinds of stuff related to pregnancy and miscarriage. And I would have the stacks of papers like this and go, this is, you see, and see this paper and see this paper. And this is why I want this test and this test and this test. They'd go, well, you seem to know more than I do. Okay. Right. So when you get them with the point of you've got the information, you've done it, and you just want to make sure that this isn't a problem for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to catch it before it becomes a problem, and there's an indication that maybe there is something going on, and it could just be the PCOS tendency, and that you'll just always have a slightly higher testosterone, but it's better than it was. So, and if that's it, you just can rest assured and not feel uncomfortable and know that that's what's going to be.
Yep. Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Hope that helps.
Yeah.
And it was, she was very, when I first sent it to her, she says, I'm on vacation. I'll look when I get back. So as soon as I got back, she wrote back to me.
Yeah, I really appreciate it.
Yeah. And she's somebody who's, that's her specialty is PCOS and elevated androgens in females.
Right. Yeah. She does a great book.
Yep. Yeah, she does. She does. There was something anti-androgenic. I'm going to be going through after Shine. I'm going to be going through all my notes, actually before Shine, because there's a few things I want to add into my Shine slides. But there was something about anti-androgenic herbs that I'm not remembering which one, because there were a lot of herbs that we talked about. So I'll once I do that, I'll have that for you. All right. We have Jeannie, who has a question about her stool analysis. So those of you who have never seen a stool analysis, sometimes when you see other people's stool analysis or whatever other questions, what other labs, you go, oh, maybe I need that. And that's something we can have a discussion about. So we have that. We have Susanna, who has a couple of questions here. And then we have Diana, who asked about the flu season. Vitamin A. Okay, vitamin A and D. So I forgot to mention A and D. Thank you, Diana. You always have good stuff in there. So A and D are super important, and you got to be careful, right? So you can do temporarily, you can do high doses of A and D to help in an acute viral infection. So A, and I have a funny story about A, you can do up to like 100,000 IUs a day for 5 days to try to fight off a cold or flu. Similarly with vitamin D, but these are fat soluble vitamins. So So you don't want to go longer than that. So the funny story was I had somebody, she had this acute cold going on, a viral thing going on. And I said, okay, here's the vitamin A. I want you to take 20 drops a day, because it was 5,000 per drop. So that was 100,000 for 5 days. She comes by the office a couple of days later and she goes, you should have given me more than one bottle of this stuff. I'm like, what are you talking about? She goes, 20 droppers. I was finished it in 2 days. She took 20 droppers full. Each dropper had 20 to 30 drops in it, which meant she was getting the 100,000 in each dropper full. And I was like, stop. No more vitamin A for you. Right. So you just have to watch because it's a lot of vitamin A and that could be toxic for the liver. Now, probably in 2 days, it wasn't, but we have to just be cognizant of that, the fat soluble. So there was a time a few years back that Dr. Mercola was addressing swine flu. Remember when everybody was freaked out about swine flu a few years back? And he said, look, vitamin D can be very, very effective in high doses, short period of time. And he just had some papers that he wrote about where it was something like 90% of your body weight in the IUs of vitamin D. So I calculated, okay, 100 drops. So I started telling people, well, 100 drops, 120, you know, depending on your body weight. So if you do that for 5 days, I have seen people just nip flus in the bud from doing that. You have had that happen. So if you start to feel that, I will take my vitamin D's and just blah, do the 100 IUs, which in some of them, it's only 50 drops. So it's not that much, right? Yeah. Some of them are 1,000 and some of them are 2,000. So if you have a 2,000 one, it's 50 drops, which isn't that hard. That's like 3 dropperfuls. Right. And you can estimate and be close. So that's another thing to kind of look.
And I got a 50K of vitamin D.
Oh, wow.
Very hard to find.
Yeah. And then you only have to take 2 of them, you know, 2 or 2.5 or something for a few days.
Yeah,
Not more than five days.
The reason the question came up is hubby came down with a sore throat in the middle of the night the other night. And so I immediately got him on the protocol by doing 1 mil on the Seeking Health vitamin A. And one of these, and then we were doing the liposomal C2000 every hour, all day. He woke up this morning, the sore throat is gone.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Completely gone. But we're following up with one more day on that. But we usually, you know, if it sticks around at all, if it gives any sticking power, we'll go 3 days on that. And then we drop it down. We'll see, reassess it that
way. And go down slowly on the C part. Yeah. Because if you have a sudden drop in your vitamin C and you're taking it, you can have a rebound and the stuff can come back again. So
usually the 2 will drop out. But the C stay.
Yeah, the fat solubles, just do them for the 5 days at the most. But it's a good idea if you notice that you do that and the next day it's fine, do another day. Do another day. Right.
Yeah, so he got over it really, really fast. The problem is that I right now can't afford to get it, and that's where we're a little, you know, scared. So
yeah, you can't, right?
Right, I can't. So I've been doing about half that dose myself, and you know,
as a preventative. Preventative,
because I can't afford to even.
And your elderberry, you know,
that's why it's all sitting right here.
Good for you. Yeah.
Yeah, we've gone through a whole bottle in the last 2 days. Sure thing, I make my own by the gallon. So
glad you do. We got to come all have a field trip to your place.
Right.
For the herbs.
Well, maybe if I can get my sophisticated levels up of filming, I might be able to do a few classes by just filming some stuff for you.
That would be great.
Just short ones.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Earlier this summer, so.
Yeah, you did that, and it was great. Yeah, it was awesome. All right, so what we're going to do, is it okay with you if I share my screen, Jeannie, with your stool test? Okay.
Dr. Rita Marie, I just wanted to remind you that Paula had a second question. So if we
I missed your second question. Let me go back to that. Oops, sorry. I scrolled too quickly. I'm going to Mexico. Is that Paula? No, that's Susanna. Okay, Jeannie. All right. I had an intestinal disturbance since 9/2 and haven't been able to eat solid food. Is that still going on?
Well, it looks like it might be resolving. And I actually had an appointment with the GI doc this morning. It was my annual appointment that I have with him. So it was good timing for that. But right now it looks like it's resolving.
Okay. So you're having less diarrhea or it's less loose?
It's starting to be more form.
Yeah. And it sounds like you were exposed to some, whether it was in a food or whether it was just an intestinal bug, but that really is what it sounds like. But the curious thing is you said your fasting sugar dropped down from 80s to 60s.
Yeah, I got to see the 60s for many, many days. Actually, it went down slowly. It started, you know, for a few days at 80 and then went down to the 70s and then down to the 60s. Wow. And the first time it went down into the 70s, I actually got some shakiness, you know, real shaky stuff. And I had to eat. I just felt like I had to eat. But then, of course, that came right through what I ate, you know. But interestingly, as the days went on, the shakiness, it went away. Mm-hmm. So it was like I was actually adjusting. I was actually almost fasting. I just did chicken broth for days. And I got down in the 60s. So that was pretty cool. Now
that's very cool. And it's very telling because we've been talking about fasting and we've been talking about modified fasting. And so you kind of did a forced fast.
Exactly.
And that shakiness was probably shifting from glucose metabolism to ketone metabolism. I don't know if you tested, but it was probably that really tough period where your sugar's down, but your ketones aren't kicking in, and then it kicks in and then you're better. So it's not good that you had a bad intestinal thing, but it's very informative.
That's what I thought. That was the silver lining in the cloud for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
But cool. It's also the blood sugars have started coming back up with eating some more solid food. I started that last night and had some more today. I'm doing it real gradually.
Yes.
Since I had hardly anything to eat for almost 2 weeks. I dropped 2 pounds or 6 pounds rather. But it all seems to have come off around my belly and off my butt. So that's a good thing too.
Yeah. Well, it also says, look, you shifted into out of that glucose metabolism into lower. And so that's where it goes away, right? When when we have lower insulin and lower sugar. So, it's a silver lining for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I promised Paula I would create, but I'm going to create, or I'll share it with everybody, but we're going to customize it for her. Eat while fasting program. It's kind of like a program where you're going to be eating in a way that stimulates the autophagy, which is the burning up of bad cells and ketosis, but while you're eating, because a lot of people are like, I can't fast, you know, and Paula said that too, I can't fast because of that fear, right? Of that, whatever, like period where you go so low that you feel awful and you feel like you're going to faint, but there's ways to stimulate it. There's been a lot of research by Dr. Walter Longo on what he calls fasting mimicking diets. And we're going to create our own because I don't like the powdered things that are out there that do it. You might, but I don't. And Maya, you've done it once with what, avocado and green powder, right?
I didn't like the green smoothie girls.
You didn't like hers? Mm-mm. Yeah. And it's funny because she just sent me a text today with a couple of people who were like raving about it and how they were better. So I think we're just going to, you know, we're going to make our own, but also give you the option of doing something that's powdered. And you didn't have a good result. You just didn't.
No, I even got constipated and I didn't like it at all.
Okay. Well, there you go, right?
And I got some high blood sugar readings, as you know.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised at that because I'm going to test it. I told her I will test it to see if it really mimics fasting because I do fasting all the time. So I know what a 5-day fast, I know where my ketones go, I know where my blood sugar goes. But if I eat one of her bars, I'm looking at it going, there's no way I'm going to have a low sugar reading after that. And, you know, by day 3 of a fast, my sugar readings are in the 60s or even lower. So we're just going to have to figure it out for each person, but it's convenient to be able to just do these packets. But I think the real food approach is really where we need to approach it. So, and I think all of you are into real food. So we'll see. After Shine, that's going to be one of my projects I'm looking forward to.
Well, one of the other things I wanted to share about this experience was that it shifted my mindset about fasting, because I was afraid to do it, even, you know, even for a day. But here, it just, I had to. And interestingly, even though I was hungry at times, it went away, you know, and as the days went on, it was even less. It was as if my body said, no, we don't really want any solid food. Because I was just having chicken broth, just chicken broth. I got really sick and tired of that. But it was something. So it taught me that I can do fasting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Because that's what happens, right? And I tell people, but if you've never experienced it, you're like, oh, I can't even imagine my hunger going away at 3 days of not eating. How could that possibly happen? But then when you experience it, you go, oh, yeah, Maya's shaking her head because she's done a lot of fasting, right? And yeah, you go, oh yeah. And for me, the hardest day is the first one because it's emotionally and psychologically. I just want food. Oh, there's still some leftover cashew dip in the refrigerator. Got to finish it first, right? And then I go in and, you know, start the fast, but I'll start tomorrow, right? So that's the hardest time. And then day two is a little iffy from the physical, like, oh, I am hungry. By day three, I'm, you know, still hungry, but by the end. But day four is like, oh, why did I even think I had to eat? I don't need food. It's fine, right? And by day five, you don't feel it. And if you keep going, it just keeps getting better. But that first 3 days is rocky road, maybe 4 days. It's a rocky road. And most people don't ever get past it. Like some people get, what did you say, Angelica, 36 hours or something, and then you get the rocky road. And, you know, and if you're working and you're having to travel or drive, it can be scary. You don't really want to get in that position. But if you can stay home and just, you know, lay down and know that now you know you're not going to die by day three, right? You can do it. You can make it. And you can just deal with, okay, I'm hungry. Yes, I'm hungry. Yes, I'm hungry. Anyway, fasting isn't necessarily for everyone, but I'm looking at this modified fasting to be something that we can help almost everybody to be able to do. Who's ever done more than 3 days of fasting here? Okay, so Lynn Rose, you did pretty long. I know Maya's done like 21 days plenty of times, right? How long have you gone, Lynn Rose?
I did a couple of your 5 day fasts. A
couple of the 5 days, okay. And what about you, Susanna? How long have you gone?
I did a 7 day.
7 day. And did you find that was the first 3 days, 4 days was the rocky part? Or what?
Actually, because, you know, we're going to talk about motility. That's my question. Because of that, I just got worse and worse and worse and felt worse and worse and worse.
Because of constipation and not releasing. And we'll talk about some of that because I've discovered that for some people, a full fast doesn't work, but taking some herbal movers, intestinal movers or enemas will definitely help make it better. Because if you're reabsorbing the toxins that your body's trying to get rid of, you do feel worse. Right. So there's tricks to that too. Yeah. Who else said they've done longer fasts? How long have you done, Jenny?
I did a five day pass.
5 day. Yeah. And how was that for you? Did you find that at day three and beyond it got better or did it get worse or?
Yeah, it was, I rarely felt hungry even at the beginning, but what I thought was odd was on day four, I got really anxious. And I'm not quite sure why. I almost got anxious just about the fact I hadn't eaten anything and I wasn't really feeling anything. And I guess, I'm not sure what it was, but there was this anxiety element that entered into it right when I thought that I would start feeling a lot better.
Yeah.
And so physically, it was great. I was fine, but I was
mentally,
about what, and somebody told me there was some biological reason for that happens, but I can't remember what she said. But yeah. Then day five, it was all gone. The exact
oh, so it was just that day four. Yeah, it's that transition-y piece, and you know, and a lot of people just don't make it far enough. And for some, it's not, you know, it's just not a good idea, but some people don't make it far enough. So not going to force everybody to fast. We're not going to have, but we will have this modified fast thing that we'll put together. And if you want to do water fasting during it instead of modified, you can, but we'll work with you to make sure you keep your bowels moving and to make sure you're doing things like the castor oil packs and things to help your body to remove the toxins. Lynn, go ahead.
I just wanted to point this something out that in Chinese medicine, we're in what's called the earth element. It's the unofficial late summer season, and it is the time when they said it's most appropriate to do some type of a fast or a cleanse. Mm-hmm. And so if you choose, so Paula, your body just intuitively knew, yep, we're going to
we're just going to dump all this stuff and start from fresh. So that's great.
Yeah, yeah. So if anybody is going to do it now, this is a great time to do it.
Can we do it in October? Is that going to still be in a good time?
Well, you could do it whenever. I mean, there's no bad time to do it. Just more oomph during this time. The time it's most powerful is like the 10 days. So the 23rd is on this part of the equator is the autumnal equinox. And so it's like 10 days before the 23rd and 10 days after is the most ideal time to do some type of a cleanse or a fast. So I just wanted to.
It doesn't have to be a pure fast, right? So you can do.
No.
Green, you know, just green juices or green smoothies for some length of time. You can do the, you know, if it's just a protein powder, MCT oil. I mean, there's a number of ways that we can do it to just slow everything down in the body and stimulate it to do the releasing. I like to do things with a fair amount of greens in there, you know, whether it's green smoothies, green juices, a combination of the two, greens with some, you know,
green soup,
black seeds, green soup. Like, especially if you're in a colder area where you want to warm yourself, right? Cold drinks may not be
good. Or if you can't handle raw food,
right? And one of the ways is you actually can steam up some of the veggies and take the water that you steam them with and the veggies and blend them up. And if you need warming, you can add some of the warming spices like ginger and turmeric and cayenne and whatever you tolerate. That can really, really be, you know, promoting. And you just do that for 5 days. You don't have to do water for 5 days. Personally, I find it easier to go without any food than to have just a small, Maya and Lynn are going, yep, right? Because it doesn't turn off, right? For me, by day four, the appetite's gone and I'm fine. But if I'm still eating somewhat, I'm like, that's not enough. That's not enough. I need more.
And the other thing I'll point out with this earth element is that it's a time, especially if you have digestive issues, if you've got weak digestion, that this is going to show up. And also if you've got dampness, so, you know, mucus and things like that. So this is just something to pay attention to.
Right. And the warm foods are going to help to dry that. More, but although warm and wet foods are not necessarily.
Well, and then drying astringent type foods, bitter foods.
Right, the bitters tend to do that. It draws and it dries. And echinacea, by the way, is one of those astringents. If you've ever just put it in your mouth, you go. So anything that when you put it in your mouth, you get that pucker is an astringent food, and it will help to dry extra moisture in the body. And if you tend to be a phlegmy type person with a lot of mucus production, then, you know, that drying agent can be really helpful. And the bitters of course stimulate digestion. It stimulates your stomach acid. It stimulates your gallbladder to move things really well. So,
yeah. Cool. So I just wanted to point some of that out. Yeah, because Yeah, and then you've got your whole digestive fire. And, you know, and this is where it's important that we understand, because your body responds differently than mine. And whereas I've been experimenting with drinking water. I know you're always like, you're not drinking enough water. Honestly, though, I can't drink as much water as you do. It isn't good for my particular system. So
but eating the foods that have more moisture to them can be a good way to do it as well, right?
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. So those are just some things to another one that came to my mind is chaparral as a good drying herb.
Yeah, it's not a common one that people have know or heard about. Do you grow that, Diana? Chaparral? I don't know where it grows.
It's common more out west.
Out west. Okay.
Yeah. And down in Nevada, I know my friend picks chaparral and brings it to me when she goes down to visit her dad. Yeah. But I don't.
Well, we're going to do an herbal. We're going to do some kind of herbal education this year. So I'm excited about it. Yes. And I don't know. Yeah. I haven't been watching the chat. So I'm going to go back to the questions that were submitted. I still have Jeannie and Susanna. And let me see if there's anybody after Susanna. Jeannie, Susanna, Diana, we got. And, oh, Annie, are you still on, Annie? And Pat Murphy. Oh, Pat Murphy. Holy cow. Is Pat Murphy on? Barbara Dunn. Holy cow. Let me just see. Oh, Jeannie's there twice. So this was September 17th. Oh, and then some more for the 21st. Got it. Okay. So we'll just go through that.
Yeah, there's a couple repeats probably. Or
yeah. Yeah. Okay, so whatever we can get to here. So let me just do a quick look for. Okay, so if I go here to your stool analysis, and thank you so much for putting these links in because it makes it easier for me to find stuff. All right, I'm gonna I am going to do a share. And, you know, if you submit labs to go on a group call and you don't mind sharing, I share. And if you don't want me to share, then I just kind of talk about it, or we save it for a private call. Okay, so this is a stool analysis. It usually starts with, this is your expected good flora over on the left. It looks like your bifido is really low. It's a 1+. Your lacto is 2. And then the E. coli and the bacteroides, which are, you know, part of the normal flora, but we want them to be balanced with the bifido and the lacto. So I would say you probably want to look at a probiotic, something like Custom Probiotics has one called, well, they have just a plain bifido, or they have a D-lactate free, which has a lot of bifido and some lacto. So that might be a good one for you. Where is Jeannie? I don't see her anymore. Let me see. Where is she? There she is. Okay, now I see you. It goes in this long string and I don't get to see everybody. So that's the stuff that I would look at. And, you know, Clostridium can be a pathogen. And we want these to be balanced, right? So you've got things that are more potential pathogens like E. coli and Bacteroides is not, but Clostridium, and they're at the 4+, which means that they're the most abundant. So what we want to do is help you to get more of the bifido. So probiotic wise, what are you currently taking besides food?
I am taking bifido factor, Custom Probiotics, but I did have to stay off for like, I think it was 2 weeks, better than 2 weeks.
2 weeks to get this done.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it says that you really need it.
Okay.
Yeah. Because in 2 weeks, if it drops, it may have been higher, but I would say, how much are you taking? I may want to have you up it.
I just take the larger of the two. There's a little scoop.
Yeah. Yeah. So the larger every day?
At night. I usually
at took night. That's probably a couple hundred. That's a pretty hefty dose.
Okay.
So you might want to add a second dose either first thing in the morning or sometime in between.
Okay.
Okay. Do you take any lacto?
Mm-mm.
So you can consider that D-lactate free. just because it has more bifido. So instead of taking a second dose of the bifido, just take a dose of the D-lactate free in the morning.
Okay.
Now I'll bring that up because there's a couple of them here that are what's called commensals. So because these are lower, these guys can grow. These guys would normally be considered a normal flora. You know, commensal means if you create an environment where you don't have enough of the good guys, these guys can get control. So my first approach to something like that is to crowd them out.
Okay.
So get the normal stuff up. You could do some kind of mild, let me just see what else is going on here. No yeast, a little bit of microscopic yeast. Let me just see if they did this is new. They have a really advanced, wow, their parasitology. They used to not show all this. They just said none reported, but you just have a little bit of the yeast, microscopic yeast. And all the really yucky guys are not there, the really bad parasites. Not to say that you might not have a low grade parasitic thing going on, but because not all the stool tests catch it, but when you do a times three, you oftentimes do, and this is a good test. I'm just going to glance through here, tell you what I see, and then we'll come back to that. These are all good. Like all of your functional tests for your gut, your elastase is related to pancreatic function. That's good. No fats, no muscle fibers, rare vegetable fibers, negative carbohydrates. So you're digesting foods. You're not ending up with a lot of stuff in your stool and your numbers are good. These are inflammatory markers, this next set. And those are all fine. So there's no sign of an intestinal inflammation. The secretory A, IgA, is low. And that might be why you're having trouble keeping the balance. Secretory IgA is an immunoglobulin that lives in the mucous membrane. And when it's low, you may not have enough of the immune support to keep those guys at bay and to keep everything in balance. So I think increasing those probiotics, but there's a few things that can help improve secretory IgA.
Okay.
One is vitamin A, probably like 5,000 I use a day. I don't remember if you have a vitamin A SNP, but if you do, it's even more important to do that. And then amla, A-M-L-A, which is an Ayurvedic herb.
Say that again.
Amla, A-M-L-A. Amla.
Okay. I've heard of that.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you can get it as amla, separately as a powdered extract or a tincture. But you can also get it in a combination called Trifala, T-R-I-F-A-L-A. That's an Ayurvedic digestive tonic. Okay. So it's got the amla plus a couple of other things in there. And you can get both and just see how they feel and play around with them. But that could help to bring it up. And heart math and muse, because the activation of the sympathetic nervous system will decrease the secretory IgA.
Okay.
They've done studies where they put somebody into a stress state, secretory IgA plummeted, go into heart math, it brings it up, right? So remembering before each meal to do your heart math and your breathing, and remembering to do it morning and night. Really just getting to the point where you go, oh, there I go again. Oh, worrying about the grandkid again. Right? And you are hypervigilant. You like to do everything right. Yeah. So some of that stuff just is like a way that your nervous system works, and it's just the retraining of it.
Would that be related to my low white count?
It could. I mean, they could be related, that your immune system is not mounting enough of a response to be able to handle some of this imbalance. Yeah, because the rest of this is great. We'll look at this one in a minute. Your fatty acids, your short chain fatty acids, which help to feed the bifido. So they've got the fuel there. I can't remember if you have the FUT2.
Yes.
Yeah, you do. So you're just going to have to just bite the bullet and just keep replenishing your bifido, because genetically you're not secreting your blood type into your mucous membranes, and it's not feeding your bifido. And if all this is not making sense to some of you, after a while it will, especially when we do your own.
So when I take the D-lactate in the morning and then go ahead and still take the bifido?
I would still take the bifido, and you can do it, you can even experiment with do one in the morning, one at night, and then swap them after a week and see if you notice any difference in how your gut feels. You may not.
Okay.
Okay. And then there's a little bit of red blood cells in there. So you don't have periods, right? So it wouldn't be that you're on your menses. Do you have any hemorrhoid or any indication of a fissure around your anus? Any itchiness or pain?
I have not seen any, you know, blood myself. The only thing that, and, you know, this may not make any sense at all, but I used to want to always use pomegranate just for heart health. But I always had to be careful with it because like I'd put it on salads or I'd put it in smoothies and that would, it could cause like nosebleeds or, you know, it just seemed like I would, you know, my gums or some. And so I don't know. I actually called them on this, but I don't know why I did it. I just wasn't thinking about testing, and I had some pomegranate powder that I put in my smoothie. And so it's interesting that if you look at the part that shows like they show the test on the first, the second, and the third, and
yeah.
The first one said none, the second one said few, and then the next one said rare. And I really think that second day is when I used that pomegranate.
Where did it show that? Is that something that...
It is on... If you see...
Okay, red blood cells. Here we go. Here?
No.
No.
Where is it? They showed... it's on that page where it was showing like all the none detected.
Oh, it was there. Okay, good. Comprehensive times three, nematode systems, tryptophan, other markers. Okay, got it. The yeast was few, the red blood cells, okay, none, few, and rare.
So it was like...
It was just that second day.
I honestly think that was it, but
it could be if you've had that experience in the past. So, but what I would do is go on, Amazon and order GUIAC test, GUIAC, GUIAC test. It's a test that you can do at home, but you send into the lab and it tests for blood in the stool. Okay. And I would get three of those kits.
Okay.
And test them like every other day and then send them in. Just to see if it shows up again. And it may just be that.
Okay.
Okay. If you really want to get scientific, order six of them. Okay. And then do it where you do the same thing. The first ones, you just do it. And the second one, you do it with eating pomegranate like you did. And see if that shows up. That would say, oh, yeah, it was a pomegranate. It depends. They used to be $10 each. I don't know if they still are. But it's a GUIAC test. It's for occult blood in the stool.
Okay.
Okay. Yep. And just rule that out. No. If you had a UTI, I'd say it could be from a UTI. It could be from, but it doesn't sound like you did. So
you just send that. It tells you, I mean, you buy.
It gives you instructions. You buy the kit and then it gives you the little pack and you just send it off.
And then they'll send you the results.
And then they send you the results.
Okay. Perfect. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
That is great. Yeah.
Awesome. Yay.
So the rest is good.
The rest is good. Yeah, very good. Functionally very good. It's elastase, all of it. Oh, yeah. So doing that, you might want to look at, because it's the rare yeasts. So you're already doing the low glycemic diet. So I would stick to that. Be careful about that so you don't feed the yeasts. And then maybe some low, like Pau D'Arco tea, right? Something along those lines, like some of the, if you go into the grand module, and there's a section that says antimicrobial, like something there that you can use as food. Black walnut hull. Well, you can actually get, that's harder. Pumpkin seeds even, right? Some of those things that have a mild anti-yeast, antimicrobial. The thing that comes to mind is the Pau D'Arco tea. But you can look in that list and say, oh yeah, I have some of that, or that's easy. And just play around with some of those just to get rid of it. And then if you get the good probiotics up and you continue to do the low glycemic diet, you should be able to get rid of those because it's rare. It's just the microscopic yeast versus the overt yeast.
Would the fact that I use that beta glucan, do you think that has anything to do with the yeast? No. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Yep. Nope.
Awesome.
Thank you very much.
Welcome. You're very welcome. So then we have a Susanna. Oh, Susanna. Continue to have motility, even though you eat plenty of fiber, get a lot of exercise, drink tons of fluids, eat a lot of soaked dehydrated walnuts, about half a cup a day. That's a lot. That's a lot
really
of walnuts. And it could slow down your motility. You consistently get diarrhea in Mexico, which is the opposite.
Yes. Go figure.
Oh, my.
And always the fifth day, which they say is indicative of an E. coli reaction or a reaction to the different E. coli that you encounter down there. It's always the fifth
day. Always the fifth day. And you don't drink the water. You don't brush your teeth with the water. Mm-hmm. What about salads? Do you eat salads there?
I try not to.
Okay. Are you staying at a resort where, or are you staying out in a, because the resorts tend to use mostly filtered water, but you know, some of the more rustic places don't.
Well, generally I'm either eating out at restaurants, which I'm going to try to take more food with me, but I also stay at a place where they do serve vegetables, but they disinfect them. I mean, they know, you know, it's a family and they're health conscious. And so they disinfect everything. So I don't know.
So I would, the things I'm thinking about for that one, and we'll come back to the first one with the motility, that, but I'm thinking that you want to take some things that are, so take extra probiotics for a couple of weeks before so that you're really bumping up your good flora. Have you tried that or just taken it with you? And then while you're there as well.
I've tried that before, and I'm kind of a probiotic problematic person.
Oh, so you have trouble with some of the probiotics?
Yeah. Even the custom probiotics, the two that you just talked about with Jeannie.
What happens when you take them?
Huge amounts of gas. Huge. Mm-hmm.
And do you gradually build up to it or do you jump right into a larger amount?
No, I take tiny amounts.
Tiny amounts. Okay. Yeah. So there's something going on there with, have you ever done any coffee enemas?
No.
That's
I'm very enema resistant. I have had very poor luck with them. I cramp up real bad.
Have you looked at the ileocecal valve adjustment stuff that we have in our grant? And we talk about getting in there and adjusting or having a chiropractor that goes in and does ileocecal valve adjustments. Because oftentimes that's clamped down and that's a sympathetic response. And I know you don't think of yourself as a stressed out person, but if you have low vagal tone, that can, and that's why I say coffee enemas, because it can stimulate your vagus.
Yeah. I haven't, but I think I do have the, I think Annette sent me the paper, you know, that you had on the ileocecal.
Yeah.
So I can look at that.
It's worth looking at that. The other thing is, you know, any of the vagus nerve stimulation stuff, like the singing and all that kind of stuff, they're more palatable than the coffee enema, which is real powerful, but I could see where it's not, you know, as tasteful. But what you can do is in that book, Accessing the Healing Power of the Vagus Nerve, he has a whole chapter on specific exercises that you can do or activities and manipulations you can do. And you might even look to see if there's somebody who does that work here in Austin. I'm sure there is. Austin's very eclectic and very alternative, but it would be somebody that does vasovagal kind of work or not vasovagal. What do they call it? Look up vagus nerve work, because there's some body workers. I don't know if Marsha's still on, but Marsha maybe can share because she found a practitioner in her area, what that actually, what they call themselves, these people that work on the vagus nerve. because that can be helpful to get that done. And I think motility agents, right? Not just, you know, laxatives, senna, because you've tried all that kind of stuff. But right. I'm talking more like the upper, like the migrating motor complex stimulators.
And right?
There's a couple of things. Modal Pro, which is from Pure Encapsulations. Trafala, which I mentioned earlier.
I take that.
You do? That doesn't do it? Doesn't keep it? Or is it just part of what keeps it sort of there? Modal Pro might be something to look at. It could be a neurotransmitter thing. Okay.
Pure Encapsulation.
But Pure Encapsulations has it. It has some 5-HTP and it has some ginger. It has other, you know, motility agents in there.
Okay.
Yeah. I would look at some of that because and the ileocecal valve. Castor oil packs, do you do any of that?
I did one once.
Okay. So the reason most people don't do castor oil packs is the messiness factor, right?
Right. Right.
Okay. So Queen of Thrones, she's in Canada. She's a friend of mine. Marisol, she's a hoot. She's very funny. But she has a pack that is, it's got the flannel and on the outside, it's got a resistant, you know, a leak resistant thing. And then it has straps that you wrap around yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you just put the castor oil in the center and you can reuse it and you just put it on. And if you can put a hot water bottle or something over it, fine. If not, just sleep with it. Lay a towel down on your bed, put on an old t-shirt because it, now, no matter how careful you are, it seeps through. I put on an old nightshirt and, you know, it's my nightshirt for doing castor oil packs. But do it a minimum of 7 days straight. So even if you can't just do it every night, do it 7 days, take a little break, do it 7 days again. Okay. And it actually does help with the vagus nerve. It helps to stimulate the vagus nerve, the parasympathetic nervous system. Because if you're in sympathetic, you're valves are going to be constricted and you're going to have decreased motility. Make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Nicer. It's easier than doing a coffee enema and it can be very effective. Okay. And then get that book. Marcia, maybe she posted it in the chat. I don't remember what the
power of the vagus nerve.
Yeah. But the, I don't know if she's still there. So, what is this? There's some ice cubes, Lynn Rose. What? Tell me what is that for the movement, the motility? I know gargling is a good one for the vagus nerve. Mimosa?
Gargling. I was talking about ice cubes when she was talking about what she got contracted from.
Yeah.
From not eating anything.
Sometimes when they wash the plastic bottles off too, even though you've got a plastic bottle, that water gets in it too. So. It can happen.
When you mean buying the plastic bottle?
Parasites, you know.
Oh.
I guess I didn't follow that about the plastic bottles.
Well, sometimes when they wash the bottles with the water, the regular water, when they open the bottles, it contaminates.
What bottles? I'm not following.
Oh, like if you're getting bottled water, you mean?
Bottled water at a restaurant or someplace.
Oh, if they rinsed them? With yes. The regular water. So that would be like, take your napkin.
Doesn't take much.
Dry it off real well.
Yeah. It's, you know, it doesn't take much.
It doesn't.
But the Mimosa pudica is just something that they use along with other supplements for parasites because it has a stickiness. It gloms onto them and helps remove them instead of just kill them. So it helps. You've got to make sure your bowels are moving though. So,
right.
Well, obviously they're moving once she gets the parasite.
Once you get to Mexico, they move.
There's your trick. Keep parasites flowing. So would you take Mimosa pudica as a capsule or as a powder? How would you take it?
When I get, it's a capsule.
Capsule? And she could just take that in advance.
Take it away from everything else because it works like a binder. No, because it.
Okay. And would she take it once you, once she gets down there or not prophylactically, more like.
No, just in case you get exposed.
Just bring it and then you can take it if you...
Some people will use it around the full moon too because the parasites are more active.
Mm-hmm.
So you can use it even if you're not having a major problem because we all have parasites.
Sure, we all do. So it might be good to do like a week of it beforehand.
Yeah.
Okay. And then have it there.
Somebody else recommended Biocidin.
Biocidin. It's a strong antimicrobial. Do it before you go down there. Be careful because it's very powerful. And so you just have to build up to it very slowly because you can have die-off reactions that are like, so don't just take it to Mexico and start taking it. Although you can get grapefruit seed extract. Tastes gross, but you can put that in any time you drink anything there. Or, you know, you can actually wipe your bottle down. That's not a bad idea, is to dilute some grapefruit seed extract. They come in little plastic, you know, they're plastic, unfortunately, but, and you can just dilute it a little bit in water. You just actually put a little, well, you don't want to do it. Make sure it's clean water. How do we do this? So you're not contaminating it further. Maybe just rub it on directly. A couple of drops and then just rub it on the bottle before you drink it. And you can put it in your water as well. So you might just put a drop in. It does taste pretty bad. So you don't want to put a large amount in.
Yeah.
That's the only problem with it. You know, taste it first, but it can be very powerful to carry with you.
Yeah. Dr. Rudabee, may I ask, I just wanted to clarify, is increasing the motility related to preventing the diarrhea in Mexico?
No, not really. I mean,
that's for here.
Okay, I wasn't sure if that was.
Yeah, but it could be that you have, like Lynn Rose said, you have some parasites or parasite eggs that are there when you're not there, and this just aggravates. You know, when you go to Mexico, it just aggravates it. Or it helps them to grow. Have you done a stool test?
Yes, I didn't do the parasitology.
You didn't do the parasitology. So parasitology times 3 could be helpful, but sometimes they don't show up. Sometimes just like if you go into the GRAND program, there is a parasite cleanse section that has and it does the eggs, right? So you're doing the cloves to get rid of the eggs because sometimes people just have this low-grade parasite thing not bothering them. But then, you know, once you get rid of it, the eggs just kind of hatch and you don't get rid of the eggs. So it's really important to do the eggs piece. So you might just do that prophylactically before you go. It's like 18 days, I think we laid out, 18 or 20. And it's part of it is just taking a very mild anti-parasitic combination. But you could do it with something stronger. But I like it because it's mild and it has some liver support. So most people don't get die-off reactions from it.
No, most of my clients are from India and they're always coming back with parasites. And I always have them take diatomaceous earth with them and use that.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That like it's like a mechanical killing of them.
It cuts them up. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's an option too.
Using it, you know, like a few days before and through the full moon and then through the new moon, I usually cycle it that way.
Mm-hmm. Good ideas.
So when you're talking about on GRAND on the parasite cleanse, were you talking about SCRAM or were you talking about the cloves?
Yeah, like SCRAM, but you can do something else. But, you know, that SCRAM is just very mild.
SCRAM, I see it in stores all the time. So
okay.
That would be easy to do.
It's easy. And then get cloves. But the thing with cloves is you're really best if you do your own grind, get the whole cloves, grind them down, put them in the capsules and take them that way because the active constituent in there, it dies off quickly. And if you just buy them already encapsulated, you don't know if they ground the cloves and then they sat around a while and then they put them in the capsules, right? Whereas if you do it yourself, you grind them and you put them in the capsules right away. And once they're encapsulated, they'll last a lot longer. It's a little bit more work, but I did it once and it took like a half an hour to make a whole slew of 18 days worth or whatever it was of cloves.
Okay.
Okay.
You have to have that capsule thing machine.
Cap 'em quick. Yeah. It's called Cap 'em quick. And you buy the capsules and you lay them in there and then you pour the stuff in and then you close the thing down and then you pop them out. And it goes, once you get the hang of it, it goes pretty quickly. Cap 'em quick. They have it at Whole Foods or Sprouts or whatever other market you like to shop at. Okay.
All right.
Cool. Thank you.
Thanks.
So anybody who's going to Mexico or as far India and scared of parasites, you've got some ideas here. Diana, we did.
Just talk me out of going to Mexico.
You just what?
Talk me out of going to Mexico.
Talk you out of going. I go a lot.
You should listen to all this stuff. It's like, man, do I really want to go to
Mexico? You really want to go to Mexico? Go to Hawaii. There's nice beaches without that risk.
Yeah, but my relatives live there.
Yeah, your relatives live there. I go to Mexico, you know, every year or two, and I haven't had a problem, but we don't. Well, last time we ate in a couple of restaurants that were outside the resort. But, you know, so I remember feeling a little like, oh, is this going to be okay? Because I ate the salad, which they say not to do. But I was fine. So we were all fine. But you never know, you know, street food or whatever. All right. So Annie, are you here, Annie? That's your first call with us and you might have gotten.
Hi, I'm here. I'm here. So sorry.
Yay. Okay, good.
Hi.
Sorry. Yeah. Hi.
I'm maneuvering.
Oh, there you are. No, where are you? I don't see you. Are you open? Is your line open or not?
I should be open.
I don't see you. I hear you.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm just on Zoom. I'm out of country.
Oh, you're out of country. So you may be just on the phone part. Are you in Costa Rica? Exactly.
Yes.
Yay.
In my happy place.
In your happy place. Yay. Okay. So you're asking best protocol for no gallbladder without it since May 2016. Trouble started in the 80s, not diagnosed till 90s. Feel like your liver's taking the burden of the removal. I know I have fatty liver to some extent. I want to move on without negative energy. Okay. So in the grand part of the program, the fifth module is all about liver gallbladder.
Okay. And
there's a whole section on life without a gallbladder and some of the things you can do. So go in there, study that. And then if you have any questions on how to apply it to you or anything like that, then, you know, reach out.
Okay. Excellent. Okay?
Yeah. And you have, you know, you have your calls with me. So schedule your first call with me. And the way you do that is you go into the site and it'll say golden gold plus, click here and you'll see my calendar link and you can get on my calendar and we can have a
wonderful,
but go through it first so we can have we can use our time really effectively and just try to customize it for you.
Perfect.
Okay.
Yes. Oh, you know what? I wanted to tell you, I did Prolon twice. And thank God we're going to do like a real food thing because the powdered stuff freaking grosses me out.
Yeah.
It's just not right. Like, as great as it is. And once you get to day three, it's smooth sailing. And at the end, you just realize I really don't need to put much in my body.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's a great process to really kind of reset the body into what you really truly need.
Yep. I agree with you that the process is good. I am just like such a real food person. And I'll tell you, they gave me a free kit because they wanted me to promote it. And I got the kit. Yeah. Like, I won't eat this stuff. I won't put this stuff in my body. Now, there was a kale chip thing and there was one or two things that I would have. So I said to my husband, I want to test this out to see how it works on, you know, the average person I might refer to. I'm just a crazy nutty person that is super, super purist, but it might be good for other folks. And so I gave it to him and he said, okay. And he started doing it. And by the middle of the day, he went, do I have to eat this powdered mushroom soup or can I just eat cucumbers and radishes? And then he kept saying that. He like, do I have to eat this stuff? So by the time he got to day five, there were a few things he did eat. He liked the olives, you know, he liked the stuff that was real food. But then we have this whole batch of stuff, like intermittent stuff throughout the thing that he wouldn't eat. So I thought if my husband won't eat it and he's not a purist like me, I don't know that, you know, the people in my fold, you know, the people that are in this group are not going to want it because it's not organic, number one.
And right.
Mostly whole foods and it's all plant-based. But
well, I think there's potato starch in it or something.
Ridiculous. And rice flour.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I couldn't believe the ingredients when I saw it. I'm like, oh my gosh. I'll tell you what, I knocked off those crackers, those dill crackers, my dehydrator, and I can teach people how to make them. They're so bloody delicious. But, and this is the other thing that I love about it is that it comes in a box and here's your portions for the day. So if you just put them out, that's all you have. At home, yeah. If I could just put my hand in the cookie jar and get those little dill crackers out, I'd eat them all.
You'd eat them right?
So that's the thing. I like, here's your three for the day or whatever it is. So you can look at it.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Yeah, that's a great, that's a great thing. So if I lay out a food plan and I say, this is it, you eat three of these for breakfast, and then you have a quarter cup of broccoli sprouts with this for lunch, and then you do this. Are you going to be able to follow, you know, is you or the average person going to follow that or go, well, I really like those Dill crackers, so I'm going to have more? Or if it's laid out to you, not like necessarily packaged in a, you know, little environmentally unfriendly package.
Yeah. You know, with a plastic water bottle.
With a plastic water bottle. And then that glycerin stuff, he's like, I am not. There's no way I'm doing it. Right. So I'm not knocking it, because they do it, and it works well for, you know, the person that's on the standard American diet and then does that. Holy cow. What an improvement. Right.
Yeah.
What
it's a great intro. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But I want something that's a little more sophisticated. And that's where Robin Openshaw, the Green Smoothie Girl, created this 3-day. I didn't want to, you know, tell everybody about it. I said, okay, I'm gonna order for me. I haven't done it yet, because I was just coming off a 5-day fast. But then Marcia did it, and she wasn't crazy about it. Right. So, you know, they had this bar, and I said, Robin, I don't know if I want to eat that bar. It's like, it's too full of sugar. She goes, well, it's not sugar. It's dates and raisins and fruit, and but also maltodextrin. And I'm like, it has 16 grams of sugar in one bar. She goes, well, you can eat it across the whole day. I'm like, I'll try it. Okay. Cause I'm going to try this, because I want to see, does it mimic fasting? I've done enough fasting. I know what my numbers would be by day 3. And if my numbers are not, if I'm not in ketosis by the end of day 1, it doesn't mimic fasting for me. Do you see what I mean? Yeah. So I know, but it might for someone else who's never fasted before and doesn't adapt quickly. Right. So that's where I want to say, and I don't know if Marcia, if you want to say anything more, but no, she wasn't crazy about it. She said it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say, if you develop a program and you say, whether it's 3 or 5 days or however many, and so people might go to the store and buy sprouts versus growing it, but say, okay, it's a quarter cup, it's a half a cup. And then you have to just partition it out. For me, I would have to say, here's my shelf in my fridge, and here's what I get for the day, you know, and I would have to do that, knowing, not like, oh, I'm just going to take a handful, because I'll go, just what's one more, right?
What's one more handful? Let's make another bowl of that yummy ice cream. That yummy protein powder ice cream that I ate 2 bowls of today. Like, would I typically have 2 protein shakes in a day? Probably not. Is it bad for me? No, it's collagen shakes. That's what's recommended, but I typically wouldn't. But when I learned how to make it into ice cream, boy, I'd easily do 2 protein shakes in a day, because ice cream, and it's got zucchini in it. And, you know, so I think you're right about the partition size, and having people say, buy this, partition this off. This is what you get for the day. You stop eating at noon, and then you start again at 4, or whatever the cycle is. And I think people, when it's regimented, are more likely, you know, to follow it.
I think so. I think that would be a winner for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's what we're going to do. We're going to do it as a Facebook challenge at first, just to get some feedback and see how it goes. And then after that, I feel like I'm going to do, we'll probably create it as a program.
Awesome.
Yeah. Cause I'm excited about it. Cause I want more people to fast, but most people don't want to fast, or can't fast, or feel crappy when they fast, or get constipated when they fast. Right.
Yeah.
And then it counteracts it. So we got to get Susanna's bowels moving better so she can do a longer fast, because if she's getting constipated and everything's backing up, it's counterproductive.
Yeah. Hey, could you tell me one more time, now that I'm not driving, module 5, where exactly I find that on your site?
Okay. So, if you go into the site, I'm going to share my screen so everybody else sees it, but I'm going to, you won't see it necessarily, but at least it'll trigger my mind to find it better. So if I go to our ERC site, the page, ERC home page, and then we go scroll down, to where it says the modules at the top, and then it says bonus modules, and then it says program access. The one called Gut Repair and Alkalizing Nutrition for Digestion, Grand. And it's the weirdest picture. I don't know where it came from. The graphics designer created it, and we didn't have time to create a different one. And I'm like, what does a person juggling vegetables have to do with digestion? But it's what we have right now. I like the rest of them. That one's a little bit odd for me. Someday we're going to get it redesigned. If you open that and then you go to scroll, it'll say part one, part two, part three, part four, part five, optimizing elimination. Okay. And there may be some stuff in there, Susanna, for you to go through and see if, you know, anything you haven't done for the moving. So it's basically elimination being the liver, you know, the detoxifying elimination that way, and also the gut. And then on this, there should be the first one is introduction and how it works, what goes wrong and how to heal. The third video on that page is optimizing elimination, liver and gallbladder function. And then it has a video and audio. And then if you go down to action plan at the bottom, number 10, it says consider a gentle five-day liver gallbladder cleanse. That's a possibility. And then inside, I think on the slides, there's a whole section. Let's see, liver and gallbladder role, what to do. Your gallbladder's job description, biggest cause of liver and keeping your gallbladder. So there's one slide, it's slide 12. It's keeping your gallbladder and it talks about stuff like that. But then it says living without a gallbladder, special considerations. Okay. And then, you know, one of the things you might consider if you've never done it is bile salts.
Okay.
Okay, I'm not a big fan of doing bile salts if you have a gallbladder. I'd rather get your body to move it and make it and all that. But when you don't have it, what happens is the liver's producing the bile and it has no place to store it. So it almost is like constant dripping it. But then when you eat a meal where you need it, it's not enough because it's just on drip, right? Right. So I recommend the bile salts, start with one and then move up to two with your fatty meals. And then just do 5 days on, 2 days off, 5 days on, 2 days off, because you don't want to get too used to it. And then just go easy on the fats on the days you're not doing it.
Okay. And then I heard.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, I heard somebody mention about doing their soaked, sprouted, dehydrated nuts. And I make a ton of those, and maybe I'm having too many. And I think especially with no gallbladder. So I likely need to back off.
You might need to back off on that, but you know, calculate how much it is. Like, and you can create your little packets, right? Get your little containers and say, this is my allotment of nuts, soaked and sprouted nuts for the day, and then move on. And then play with it. You might find that, you know, I can't just say like 1 ounce, 2 ounce, half an ounce, 3 ounces cup. I don't know what it is for you, but I would start and go, okay, that was fine. Oh my, that was a little bit off. I'm all, you know, not feeling so good on that. And then you back off. So you figure out what the best is for you.
Okay.
Okay. And then the other thing, I'm not sure about this one, but you know, certainly bitters before the meal, like, you know, little bitters tincture. There's a number of companies that have good ones. Herbalistic Alchemist. I know that Guts and Glory, Summer Box Company, has a bunch of different kinds. Gaia has them, and you find one that helps to stimulate the bile production and movement before your meal. So you're making bile in the liver, but you want to get it to move out, right? Make a cholagogue that makes it move at the right time. So if you are going to take cholagogue herbs, which are listed in here, liver supportive, and it says brassica, superfood, let's see, cholagogue herbs is number 17, page 17. You can start with the mild ones, like, you know, artichoke leaf, nice, simple, and take it before a meal and see if it helps to get the liver to release more bile when you need it. Right. As opposed to this constant drip. There's dandelion, fringe tree. I'd avoid the stronger ones like greater celandine. Gentian might be kind of strong, but the one I would definitely watch for is greater celandine because it's so powerful. And I wouldn't want you to mess up with that one. Yellow dock, if you tend to have like an iron deficiency or you tend to be low in your minerals or low stomach acid, yellow dock's a really good one. It's also good if there's skin issues because it helps with, you know, supporting that. So I know I've just dumped a whole bunch on you, but it's some.
And are those? It's excellent. And are those dry herbs or supplement form or just the leaves? And I just chew them up.
It could be tinctures. It could be extract, herbal extract.
Okay.
Yeah, some of them, you know, you got to be careful. Some of them just don't work as just a powdered herb. They work better mm-hmm. As an extract where it's been, you know, water or alcohol extracted. And some of them work great as dried herbs. And
okay.
I don't know off the top of my head which are which. Like artichoke leaf, you can just take, and it's not artichoke. Okay, in the picture, it shows the artichoke bulb. It's not actually the bulb, but the picture of the artichoke next to it, when you get to that slide, it's that. And if you live in California and you go to, like, where's that place that does the, there's a place that Hollister or someplace Hollister around there.
Valley.
Yeah, they grow a lot of artichokes.
And artichoke.
Where is it?
Castro Valley is the artichoke capital
Castro
of the world.
Castro Valley, there you go. And you can actually buy them. You don't just buy them as these bulbs like you do in the supermarket. You get people come out of there with like huge, you know, the whole thing. And those leaves are what's really good for your liver.
Yeah, awesome. I have them growing in my backyard. Unbelievable. I didn't even know.
You have them in your backyard. There you go.
Yes.
You just make a tea or a soup with those leaves and drink it. And drink it before your meal, like 10, 15 minutes before the meal, and it'll help to stimulate the flow. And because you don't have gallbladder, it'll go, you know, it'll just stimulate it when you need it.
Okay? Excellent. Yay. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Where are you?
Dr. Rita Marie, was it Susan that was talking about the motility or constipation for fasting?
Susanna, yeah.
Or Susanna, okay. So what wasn't mentioned, unless I just didn't hear it, was magnesium. That can be very helpful.
Well, I didn't mention it because I know she does take a lot of magnesium and vitamin C. Yeah, that's the only reason I didn't. Right. So if you hear me miss something, it's because I know the person and I know I'm not going to tell her that because she's already doing it. So, yeah. But thank you. That's a really good one.
Sure.
That's yeah. definitely a good one. You know, best supplements will know when we meet you. Right. When I actually go through your history and we sit down and we talk about what you're. Yeah. Best food, size of meals. Yeah. So I think all of that will go through. Keto, you know, a keto option might be good, but a veggie keto option. Right. So we can help you with that. And there are people that have no gallbladder that do fine on a modified keto type diet. So we can definitely work on that. Pat, is Pat Murphy here? Yes. No, maybe. I haven't seen her.
Yeah, there's a few phone numbers, one phone number. So
Pat, no, that's an 817. She's Austin, so she would be a 512.
Maybe she didn't make it.
She might not have made it. All right, we'll save it for Thursday. When doing reset, okay, DJ, okay, we'll talk. I can just answer it here in case she listens, but when doing a reset, taking DHA, chromium, magnesium, et cetera, is that's recommended. How do I know when to stop taking these supplements and are some to be discontinued and some stopped? So for those of you who have gone through the sweet spot in the metabolic reset, transition phase and then the maintenance phase, we talk exactly about how to know with the supplements. So if you've gotten the results you're looking for, your blood sugar is under control, you're losing weight, you can actually just start backing off of some of those supplements, like a little bit at a time, like drop it down by 25%, do it for a few days. If you start putting on weight again or your blood sugar goes up again, then you know you need it. And it's all described in that part of the program. Barbara, is Barbara here? Barbara Dunn? Sorry, it's just taking so long, but I didn't expect quite this many questions. It's good. It's great.
No, right? I was actually texting with her because I'm her gold coach. She okay. was planning to be on, but she ended up having to watch her grandkids. So she would appreciate it if you'd answer her question here and she'll listen to the recording.
Okay. So let her know that it was 2 hours in, right about 2 hours in. That is when understanding the gold bonus testing I have. So I know what labs I need to ask my doctor to run, which ones I have purchased through ERC. Yeah. So she's a full pay. So she gets the full bonuses section. Is that correct? Do you know that? Cause it was some of them. Yeah. So I'm just going to see. So it was the blood panel. Was the comprehensive, like a CMP, which is a metabolic panel that has gallbladder, I mean, liver, lipids, et cetera, and glucose and electrolytes. So it's like a standard blood panel plus the complete thyroid. So it has all the thyroid stuff in it. So that stuff you wouldn't have to ask your doc to get. And as far as the other
stuff. Do you know if she gets the A1C and the, she doesn't get those. Okay.
Well, there was one that everybody got, so she gets that, but I don't remember if it was A1C or homocysteine. Do you?
Well, that was one. So there are two tests. One was the one you were just talking about. The other one was the A1C and the homocysteine.
I don't think it was both because he told me that one or the other, and I think it was, we'll look that one up. But I'd have to go back and look at the sheet. I don't remember. But she would get that too, whichever one it is. So if you find it or I find it, we'll figure it out. But then as far as other tests, you know, that your doctor wouldn't run, like you've got a Dutch test. I can't remember what else. Yeah. So I would say on that, the ones that she should ask her doctor to get, check to see if it's A1C. I think it's one or the other of homocysteine or A1C. I don't think it's both. And then, but I want both. So whichever one we don't get, ask the doctor to run. Depending on what her history is, insulin's always a good one to get. That test may have ferritin, but not iron, and I don't recall. So I would want iron and ferritin. And I would want homocysteine, A1C, insulin.
Do you want to
about the full thyroid? I think that's it. What?
Do you want to see peptide? Because she does have.
I would get C-peptide for her. Not for everybody, but given her history, I would do C-peptide for her.
Okay, good.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, the rest of this we're going to do on August 21st for the August 21st call. If anybody's here that has a question that didn't get answered, you know, speak now or forever hold your peace. But until Thursday. So it's not very long. For those of you who are the elites, we have an elite-only call earlier, and then we have the whole group at 7 o'clock. So earlier we have the elites for me to just check in with you and see what your goals are here and see if there's any changes or updates, and I'll be looking at your getting-to-know-you forms. And we're going to hope that everybody gets in because I think we made the numbers a little higher than it should have been. So I think we're going to do it. Everybody's going to have 10 minutes per person. We're going to go through some stuff. It's going to help me to just reconnect with all of you. And that'll take us the whole 2.5 hours that we blocked off. So, Donna, did I get your questions? I didn't see questions from you. I did get your question. You know what? It's been 2 hours and my brain is like, who did I give answers to? Thank you. Okay. And one of these days, I'm going to find an ice cream recipe that you're going to like. She's laughing.
I wanted to ask, I know I'm being a pest, but...
The ultrasound. Yes. What time is it?
So
you're still available after this. I'll do it after this. Are you still okay after this? I was away and I was trying to figure out when, but yes, I'll show it. Because if you're available after this, I'll do it with you. Whoops.
Yeah, I have everything.
You have everything? Is there anybody else that's on here that is thinking about ultra? Yeah. Are you okay with me doing a group thing and showing, or do you want to do it private?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So is anybody else on here that's considering, we've talked about this before, the new people may not know what I'm talking about, but an ultrasound machine for chronic pain type stuff. Like she's got chronic shoulder. I've had people do it for chronic ankle stuff. I think I went through it with Sarah at one point for the shoulder stuff. So if anybody wants to just stay on, I'm going to just, Donna's got her ultrasound machine. I'll stop the recording and then I'll start a new recording. And I'm going to just show her how to use it on her shoulder. I find that, my colleagues think I'm nuts for teaching people how to do this, just saying. So you do it at your own risk and, you know, I'm just showing you, I'm not prescribing it for you, but it's something that is so powerful for bringing down inflammation and chronic pain and chronic, restriction in areas. And if you're going to go and pay like a chiropractor or a physical therapist to do it, two things. One is it's going to cost you at least $100 each time you go to get it done. Number two is it's going to cost you time, like travel there, be there, and then travel back. So, and for most of this stuff, at least initially, when you do it every day or every other day, that's when you get the best results. So even if money wasn't an issue, time's probably an issue to travel back and forth to the chiropractor or physical therapy. The unit costs about $150, $160. So it's less than two visits. And there are some precautions, which I'm going to talk about, that we want to make sure that you do. And don't do it on your spine. Let a professional do it, because that's where you can get in trouble, because you can cross the spine and make messy things. And don't do it on children who are under the age of skeletal maturity. So for boys, it could be, you know, under 20, for girls under 18. But if they've reached their top height, you're good. But it will actually, if you do it over the growth plates, it could stop the growth plate progression. So if you've got a 6'4" teenager and you don't want them to grow anymore, feel free. I had a 5'6" teenager, and I'm like, I hope he grows a little more. No, he was 5'4". And by the time he reached 18, he was 5'6". He's 21. He's still 5'6". And he goes, Mom, when are we going to be able to do that ultrasound? Because my ankles are killing me from all these injuries. So we started doing it, and it was phenomenal. The improvement in his recovery from his ankle injuries, because he keeps doing it. He's a skateboarder. So it's really, you know, it's just a really nice tool. One of my friends who, you know, came to see me ages ago, like 15 years ago, for a frozen shoulder, maybe it was 10, but she had a frozen shoulder after her dog had yanked on her arm while she was walking it, and it yanked it out, and then it got stuck, and then she couldn't move it. Like, she was like this. And I started working on it, and we'd get a little bit more. And I wanted her to come like regularly. And I taught her how to use it. I taught her daughter how to use it. She was going to come, but she lived like 30 minutes away, and she just didn't have the time. So she went and bought one, and she started doing it on herself at home twice a day. Within 2 weeks, she had full range of motion in her shoulder. So that's when I started to look at, well, what's the problem with, I'm about empowered self-care. What's the problem with teaching people this? I would just say, don't do it over your spine, right? If you have a spinal issue or a rib issue, you know, rib issue maybe, but we want to teach you specifics about that. My son's been getting, he broke his ribs, two of them. And I found a chiropractor where he was, had ultrasound, and he started doing it. Because actually the orthopedist said, well, let's do an MRI or see if it's not healing properly, we'll do ultrasound. I'm like, the orthopedist said that? How bizarre. So I started researching it. I'm like, oh, wow, it really helps heal broken bones if you do it right. And so he started seeing this chiropractor a few weeks ago. Now he's completely out of pain. He started exercising again. So it's exciting what it can do. And for my own personal use, I always forget that I have the bloody thing. And I'll be going, oh, I sprained my ankle. What am I doing? And they go, wait a minute, I have an ultrasound machine. And then like within two treatments, it's 90% better. Right. So anyway, I'll stop the recording. Thank you guys for being here. It's been a pleasure. And we have another call on Thursday. If you have more questions, feel free. And I'm just going to close the recording now. Thank you so much. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Stop recording. So if you want to stay